Okay, good vach, everybody. It's chus to be back together. Together to learn, together to grow. Matzah Shabbos Kodesh, and to Bez Hashem, keep all the Shefa, the Kedusha of Shabbos with us into the week. Before we begin, I just want to thank our generous sponsors tonight for sponsoring anonymously. A very special couple that Mamish, I'm very, very close to her, like family to me, and Bez Hashem, it's chus for B'surus Toivos, and for Simcha, and Bracha, for them, for the entire family, Bez Hashem. We've spoken many times, some may remember, about the month of Mar Cheshvan, and why it's called Mar Cheshvan, bitter month of Cheshvan. And Pasha Pshat, the simple understanding, is it's a month void of any special days. There's no Yom Tov in all of Mar Cheshvan. There's no holiday. Obviously a little more so, contrasted to the month before, Tishrei, which is full of Yom Tov, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Simchas Torah, Shmini Atzeres. A few days ago, we walked into a new month, the month of Shvat. If you think about it, what does Shvat have in it? Now I know you're all thinking immediately, Shvat has two B'Shvat. It's true. Like, really? Two B'Shvat? Like, think about it. What does two B'Shvat really mean to us? Does it not pale in comparison to other Yom Tovim? Purim, okay, Purim, the salvation of our nation. There was a Gzerah. There was already Nechtam. There was already sealed that we'd be destroyed. Pesach, the parashas we're going through, these parashas when we were let out of Mitzrayim. Shavuos, Matan Torah, Rosh Hashanah, a day of Tshuva, the beginning of the year, Yom Kippur. Tu B'Shvat. I mean, it's nice, it's important, don't get me wrong, but that's going to be the day that's going to create that this is also a special month that we don't, meaning, one could argue it's not much different than Cheshvan. One could argue that it's pretty much on a similar level. So, you have a Tu B'Shvat. What is Tu B'Shvat that's so hailing, that's so kaddish, that's so special, that we're going to elevate the entire month? Because by the fact that we don't call it a Mar Cheshvan, clearly, Mar Shvat, clearly the whole month is special. The whole month is elevated. From this one day, Tu B'Shvat. And yes, we try to make a big deal out of it. Maybe some of you have been at a Tu B'Shvat Seder, a Tu B'Shvat Tish, eat fruits, make brachos on fruits. I know back in the day when I was in elementary school, I don't know, maybe you as well, they used to give it out boxer, carob, right? Which basically is, I don't know, rocks that you're supposed to try to eat and break your teeth on. I'm not sure if any dried boxer, if anyone's ever eaten those. I'm not even sure you make a bracha on it. It's like basically like a branch. Has anyone ever actually tried it? You know what I'm talking about? Did they do that in your schools? Like they do that? Has anyone actually tried them? Like could you actually eat them? They're like hard as a rock. I don't even know. Whatever, okay. Minog avaseinu. So we try to make it big because, again, we want it. We always look for special days to elevate and make our lives more special. But what is it about Tu B'Shvat that inherently is so special? In fact, if we analyze the day, and really the source is the first Mishnah Rosh Hashanah that we all know, it's actually Machlokas to begin with. The Mishnah says, Be'echad B'Shvat Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan, K'divrei B'Shamay. The B'Shamay actually holds the first day of Shvat, last Monday, was Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan. Like, there's no, according to Beis Shammai, there's no such thing as Tu B'Shvat, actually. According to Beis Shammai, it would be Aleph Shvat, and we call it, you know, Tu B'Shvat is just a date, right? The 15th of Shvat. So we would have a day that we could celebrate Aleph Shvat. Now, we don't paskin that way. We paskin like Beis Hillel Omrim, B'Chamisha Sabo. The 15th day of Shvat is the Rosh Hashanah of the Ilanos. It's the beginning of the year for the trees. You know, if you look in the same Mishnah, earlier in the Mishnah, it says, for example, Be'echad ben Nisan, Rosh Hashanah lemlachim l'ragalim. The first day of Nisan is Rosh Hashanah for kings. I mean, the years of kings was dependent on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Like, if a king became king a month before Nisan, Nisan's already his second year. And for the regalim, for the Yom Tovim, I mean, the first Yom Tov of the year is actually Pesach. Doesn't go by Tishrei. And that would be, like, if you make an oath, you make a neder to not do something, or to do something within Shalosh Regalim, that begins, perhaps, Nisan. So there's a Rosh Hashanah for Nisan. Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Do we celebrate Aleph Nisan like we do Tu B'Shvat? And you keep on going in the Mishnah. Echad Be'el, Rosh Hashanah L'Maiser Behema. We don't have a celebration Rosh Chodesh Elul. I mean, these are regular Rosh Chodesh. Suddenly, Tu B'Shvat. The rest of the Mishnah. Tu B'Shvat, we have a celebration. It's a special day. Why? Halachically, what is Tu B'Shvat? What happens on Tu B'Shvat? The Gemara goes through and we understand. The Rabbi Martinur explains on this Mishnah right here that the Meiser of the trees is dependent Tu B'Shvat, meaning you have to every year bring Meiser on your fruits that grow. So fruits that finish growing or the chanata, the formation of the fruit, happens after Tu B'Shvat is a whole new year in terms of Meiser. You can't take Meiser from those fruits or the fruits from before Tu B'Shvat. Right? How you calculate your Meiser, the year of Meiser is Tu B'Shvat. Or Meiser Ani, every third year you have to give Meiser Ani, that would be dependent on Meiser. Basically, a lot of agricultural halachas are dependent on Tu B'Shvat. Shkoyach, that's a mitzias. That's just because, as the Gemara explains in Rosh Hashanah, that by Tu B'Shvat, most of the rain already fell in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore the sap of the tree already rose up to start the process of the formation of the fruit. That's just the mitzias. That's what happens. That's what happens every year. The same way every morning the sun rises. Like, what is that celebration about the Teva Olam, about how Kadosh Baruch Hu orchestrates the nature of the world? We don't usually celebrate that. Nothing is happening miraculous. Nothing happens special on Tu B'Shvat. Every other yontif, every single one, is it? Every other special day is a celebration of something that happened to Bnei Yisrael. Suddenly here comes Tu B'Shvat, and we're going to have Tu B'Shvat, and Tu B'Shvat Seder, and fruits, and it's special, and really, if you stop and think about it, nothing occurred, and it's just basically a date that we learn halachos of Meiser from. Shkoyach, very nice. What are we celebrating? And seems to perhaps even elevate the entire month of Shvat. Secondly, if we understand halachically, we stand halachically, it's all about Meiser Ani, and about, as the Gemara says, that the rain, the most of the rain fell by this time, and for the sap of the tree went up and formed the fruits. That's all Eretz Yisrael. That has nothing to do with the Chutz Laretz. That's all in Eretz Yisrael. So if that's the case, one can suggest as well, maybe this should be a yontov just for Eretz Yisrael. Why are we talking about this, even learning about this and living this in Chutz Laretz? I mean, a deeper question is why we're living in Chutz Laretz, but we're not going to go there now. Or maybe we should. It's never a bad thing to think about and talk about. Right, Baruch Hashem, tomorrow Eretz Yisrael is opening up again. Hope some of you are going. If you weren't going to, go get a ticket. Having these tickets are very cheap now. Like the cheapest you'll ever find. Just, even if you weren't planning, like you could still plan. It's like you can find tickets $700, $750. You've never had cheap like this. Get on a plane and go. Many in this room haven't been there in like 2 years, right? Let's be real, let's be honest. So now they're open again. I had this chus to be there a month ago, so I had dying to go, I hope to go. Had a ticket to go. And based on other cheshbonos with the family, I gotta figure out when I could go. But we'll get there soon again. Mirtz Hashem. So this sounds like an Eretz Yisrael dig a day. What are we even celebrating here at all? Let's start with that. Let's start with understanding why this is, whatever this depth is, the celebration is, why it's not merely for Eretz Yisrael and for all of us. Let's start with that question. And we'll come back to really what Tu B'Shvat is all about. Or at least one idea. So I want to read you from Rav Tzadok, the Hilga Kayin, Rav Tzadok of Lublin. He brings down a Pri Tzadok. He quotes a Gemara in Tainus. The Gemara in Tainus, Dav Yud, explains that Eretz Yisrael Shoyseh Megishamim, that when the rain falls, it first falls in Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara says, V'cholon kulo mitamtsis, and all the rest of the world gets the leftovers. And he continues, Eretz Yisrael Shoyseh Tchil, V'cholon kulo lepsof, Eretz Yisrael is the first to get the rain, and the rest of the world only afterwards. And he says, even though it's true that Eretz Yisrael gets most of the rain, by the time Tu B'Shvat comes around, it's only Eretz Yisrael that got most of its rain. And the Chutz L'Aretz doesn't come most of the rain until you hit the summer. Listen to this line. Based on this Gemara, we see, Mikol Makom, nevertheless, all of the world's rain and all the world's Shefa and all the world's Gashmias, it all only stems from, it comes from the Shefa that's given to Eretz Yisrael. Basically, the way Rav Tzadok's understanding this Gemara, that the Eretz Yisrael gets the first rain and the rest is left over, it's kilu. You could imagine, here we have this cup. I want to thank Julia always for helping out and all the details of this year and everything else, but also for bringing me the water. And she brought me a cup here. And you imagine if I poured this bottle of water into this cup and I filled it up to the top. I'm like Abdullah, where the minhag is to fill over the cup, and I filled it over so the cup was full, and then whatever spilled out got on the plate. You can imagine that's the water and the chef of the world from Eretz Yisrael. I mean, all the water is really going to Eretz Yisrael, and the rest of the world just getting the remnants, getting the spillover. And that's what Rav Tzadok is teaching us based on this Gemara, that the Shefa is really going to Eretz Yisrael, and everything else is just spreading out because it's in the world and happens to be somehow connected to Eretz Yisrael. But the Iker is Eretz Yisrael. And based on this, we can hear and feel and understand Begashmias and definitely Baruchis. That therefore, of course, if something's happening in Eretz Yisrael, we have to be thankful. If something's happening in Eretz Yisrael, that ultimately is going to spill over to us here. Halavai, again, we should be zocher to be in Eretz Yisrael and understand that all the front of this Gemara, again, how can we not want to be in Eretz Yisrael? That's where the Iker Shef is. Why don't we want to be there and shouldn't want to be there? But until we're there, whatever reason we have to recognize that whatever Shefa we do have, whatever we have in our life, Begashmias uberuchmias, it comes from Eretz Yisrael. That's the heart of the world, and that's the heart of our lives. And if we're zocha that we have, Baruch Hashem, our parents make a good parnasa, and they could support us, and we have, Baruch Hashem, nice clothing, and a nice house, and we have delicious Shabbos food, which is beautiful and wonderful, and we have to be thankful. We live in such a dor of Shefa, like hasn't been in all of history. But you know where that all comes from? It all comes from Eretz Yisrael. Every drop of it comes from Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Gemara is telling us, that Rav Tzadok is telling us. Every drop comes from Eretz Yisrael. We have to believe that. In Vada, Ruchnias. So when we celebrate a Yontav, Tu B'Shvat, which again, we still have to explain what it is. And if only what we know about it happened in Eretz Yisrael, that's not to say we shouldn't celebrate here, because all of that's spilling over to here. And Baruchnias, I had this chus to be in Eretz Yisrael about 5 weeks ago. I feel it every single moment still. The chizik I had, the shefa that I received, beruchnis and begashmis, we have to believe, I feel it every moment, and you all know, you all feel it. Even if you haven't been there in 2 years, you don't believe strongly, and you know that who you are is so much based on that time you zoichet and zoichet spend in Eretz Yisrael, and that it's with you every single moment. And those that have been in seminary already, so you think, okay, but I was in seminary learning Torah. You think it would have been fully the same here in America? It's just not. We, even just a visit to Eretz Yisrael, even just a week in Eretz Yisrael, a few days in Eretz Yisrael has changed our lives. I'll tell you a story I was thinking about over Shabbos for various reasons. It happened a few years ago. It was a trip I was in Eretz Yisrael, January. And it was already a bunch of years ago when I started getting in. I'm sure many of the Chevy here learned the Torah of Rav Melech Biederman. Maybe I've seen a lot of his Torah's clips. Such an inspiration, such a mashpia on the world of Melech. And so I wanted to meet with Rav Melech Biederman. So Talmud Amman was close with Don Rukabayim and set up a meeting on that particular trip with Rav Melech lived in Bnei Brak, and I was arriving on a Monday, like 11-12 a.m. and we're going to meet like around 1-1:30, right straight from the flight. Bnei Brak's like 15-20 minutes from the airport. Straight from the airport, I'll go to meet with Rav Melech. When I go to Eretz Yisrael, always my days are like very calculated, trying, especially you want to get it all in every day, exactly what I'm doing so that I could mamish get the most from the trip. So I'm set up fine. This Talmud meets me at the airport. We go to Bnei Brak. We get there, and he's calling the Gabbai. Gabbai can't be, it's like 20 minutes. Finally we reach the Gabbai. I'm so sorry. Rav Melech last minute had to go to Yerushalayim. And I remember I was very broken because I calculated I needed to be Bnei Brak. Okay, Lamaisa went to the Bet HaKfaros in Bnei Brak, which was incredible, chizik, and other in Yonim, to go daven by Rav Shach. To daven, this was the year when Aaron Leib Steinman passed away. So daven by Aaron Leib Steinman, by Michal Yulefkovich. And they have it, it's actually, for me as a Kayan, it's a Bet HaKfaros that Kohanim could, they have it set up, the Kohanim could go in a particular way. Big tzaddikim, stipler going. It was very, very special. It was the first time I was in that cemetery. But I was a little bit, I'll be honest, I was a little bit down. I was excited to be with Rav Melech. I had certain questions I wanted to discuss with him. You know, each tzaddik, you have ideas you want to discuss based on who they are, based on how you've been inspired by them. Okay, it is what it is. Go through the trip. Spend a lot of time with Talmidim, giving shiur. I'm going to Makamis Kedoshim, all the different Makamis. Chevron and other places, whatever it was. Thursday night, late Thursday night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, maybe it was 2:30 even. I took down about 10 talmidim to the kaisel. That night I spoke in the tivari, and then I was talking to guys in the tivari. And at about 2:30, I took down about 10 guys to the kaisel. So I wanted to give some of the chevron. I listen every single erev Shabbos. I give a 5-minute parsha vart. So I decided, I mean, I scroll, I always give that at the Kaisa. So I want to give the 5-minute bar at the Kaisa. Come down, we'll sing a song afterwards, Shabbos Kodesh. So I'm sitting there, and it was a night, maybe it was a little rainy outside, I don't remember, it must have been rainy, because we were inside. We were inside by the Kaisa. And I'm giving over the Torah. And as I'm giving over this Torah, I see in front of me, literally a few feet away, because inside is not so big, I'm sure. I assume none of you were inside by the men's side by the castle. Although they have a women's section to overlook, so maybe some of you were over there. You see, it's not a very big area. It's bigger than the women's inside. You guys have like a tiny little section, I've been told. But I see right in front of me at the castle, I couldn't believe it. Here's Rav Melech Biederman. Rav Melech's there, and as I'm giving Torah, I see he turns around, and he's listening to the chizik. So it was like, little thing in the back, you're Melech like listening to what I'm saying. It was pretty crazy, but okay. And then he goes back to Davin. We finish, we're singing Shabbos Kodesh. We're about to get up, and one of Melech's gabbais comes over to me, and he says, Rav Melech wants to know if he could come give your chevra, speak to your chevra for a few minutes, give some chizik to your chevra. Rav Melech beat him. I say, of course, what's the Shiloh? He says, okay, but he's davening, he needs a few more minutes. So I go back and I give Torah to them for a few more minutes. And Rav Melech Biederman comes over to us. And he talked to us, I spoke, and he asked me if the Chevra knows Yiddish, and I said, no. He says, does the Chevra know Hebrew? I said, also not. This was in Hebrew, we're having this discussion. And I asked him, does the Rav speak in English? He says, sorry, no. See, he looks at me, he says, okay, I'm going to speak in Hebrew, and you'll be the interpreter, you'll be Matargim, you'll give it over to them in English. And for like 10 minutes, he's going back and forth with me. He'd say a few words, and I translate. It was incredible. I still remember until today. I'm not going to give it over the Torah now. Happened to be with about these parshas, but it was January time. The mashal, it was beautiful, it was incredible. Every guy got to go over to him and get brach afterwards, and I got to speak to him afterwards at the Kaisel Lel Erev Shabbos. And it was unbelievable. Something I'll never forget. Happened to been with him 5 weeks ago, 4 o'clock in the morning at the Kaisel, but it's another story for another time. But Lameisa, first of all, it was just incredible, because that particular trip, I so badly wanted to speak to Reb Melech. So I went to Reb Melech, and Hashem said, no, Rabbos Machshav of Lodesh, I have other plans, I'll bring Reb Melech to you at the Kaisel. It was like, it was incredible. I was all down all week. They didn't have the schuss to meet with Reb Melech. So Hashem said, what are you being down? You think there's other ways you could talk to Reb Melech. You have to go to his house in Bnei Brak. Relax. They brought Reb Melech. It was just incredible. But I'll tell you, this was years ago, and I still feel that night now. And yes, it's meeting with Reb Melech, but I was thinking about it. It's not just Reb Melech. It's Eretz Yisrael Dick. It's Yushalayim Dick. You know why? Because it's incredible. It's the same place that you and I go for inspiration and chizik and to connect to the Rebbeinu Shalom. Is in Eretz Yisrael. It's the same place that Reb Melech Biderman goes. It's one. We all get it from the Kaisel. We all get it from the Mokom HaMikdash, which we feel closer to the Rebbeinu Shalom. It's just nothing like anything here. Yes, we can go to the Oil, we go to Makaymas, but there's nothing like it. The chizik we could get, the people that are there, what it is, but Baruch Hashem, we feel it here. We feel it here. And we have to believe that, we have to know that. And therefore, yes, if there's a yantav which is primarily about chutz laretz, it doesn't matter. Primarily about Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't matter that we're in chutz laretz. We have just as much to be thankful for what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. Because everything that happened in Eretz Yisrael is really going to ultimately bring shefa and bracha, begashmi and baruchni is to hear. It all comes from there. Okay, so that answers why whatever Tu B'Shvat would be important to both Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz. But get back to the more important question. Like, it seems to be just a day of growth of trees. Rosh Hashanah, like all the other Rosh Hashanahs in the Mishnah, which don't seem to have tremendous significance. Like, what do we celebrate? Now, there's a minhag to eat fruits. But not only is there a minhag to eat fruits, there's a minhag to eat dry fruits. Right? Many of us have had dry fruits, the apricot and whatever, I don't know, dry fruits, right? Sugared. Yeah, we wish it. They're much better when we get them in the shuk, but okay, we do what we can here, right? We have dried fruits, and that's a minute to have dried fruits. Prichadish says eating fruits is l'chvod shmo shel yom. The kavod of the day itself, but what is the kavod of the day? It doesn't seem to be so special of a day. It doesn't seem to be a day of celebration, a day of simcha, a day of joy. A day of what? Doesn't seem to be any different than any other Rosh Hashanah. So I saw an incredible Torah this year from Rav Leibel Yeager. Sefer Torah's MS. Rav Leibel Yeager says such an idea, and this idea, I believe, can be the key to what the celebration is all about. And why we're celebrating a Tu B'Shvat. Clearly we have to look into the Pnimius Hayoim. Clearly we have to look into the deeper depth of what the day is about. Because on the surface, there's questions. We all know that the pasuk v'adam eitz hasada, that we are all compared to the trees. It's one of the reasons I just had this chus to be by a very special Talmud, Talmidah, Gilad and Gila Rosenberg, who made an upsharon for their son Azi. It was a very big chus to be there. Feel a very big part that happened to be very close to both of them, and then happened to have been their shadchan. It was a kayin by Azi's pidyon haben. Spoke by Shalom Zacher, and then had this chutzpah to speak by his upshar. And you know what Nacha said is, imagine, Avai looking forward to be under his chutzpah one day, Be'ez Hashem. Okay, we'll have the bar mitzvah first, Be'ez Hashem, but in that order. Avai said, one of the reasons for an upshar is, Ba'adam eitz hasada, man is compared to a tree, and just like we know there's a din of arbol, the first 3 years, we don't take the fruits, we don't pick the fruits, we don't harvest them, so we shouldn't cut the hair the first 3 years. The other mates I saw, there's a lot of deeper depth, but I won't talk about that right now. So these trees that are growing is each and every one of us. But what? What is the lesson? What is the depth and what is worth celebrating? It happens to be just a reminder, we spoke about it a few weeks ago, that we're in the middle of the days of Shoivim still. We spoke a few weeks ago what Shoivim means to women. Shoivim are days of growth. Shoivim are days of tshuva. Shoivim are days to become more. I think there's no coincidence Tu Bishvat is in the middle of Shoivim. And this is what I believe the Simcha is all about. Look at a tree in the midst of the winter. Look at an apple tree in the midst of the winter, a fruit tree, any tree in the midst of the winter. Not only is it not growing fruits, not only is it not bearing beautiful, blossoming flowers prior to those fruits. The tree is bare. The tree is desolate. The tree is completely, to the eye, dead. You wouldn't even know it's alive. It's brown. It looks like it's lost all of its chis. And then comes Tu Bishvat, and Tu Bishvat at that time, as we've mentioned, that the sap is rising through that tree and creating the beginning of the rebirth of that tree, the renewal of that tree. And we watch and we see and we watch that tree that in the midst of the winter was completely desolate and barren, gone and dead to the world. We see its rebirth, we see its revival, and we see it grow and blossom and be beautiful flowers and eventually juicy, delicious fruits. It's alive. It's growing. Ki Adam et Asadeh. The Adam et Asadeh, so to each and every one of us. The chizik of Tu Bishvat, the celebration of the Yom Tov Tu Bishvat, is to remind us and to tell us, if I see this tree that looked down and out and gone, and the rebirth of that tree, that begins Tu Bishvat, that tells me so too I. That tells me so too I when we fall. When we don't live up to who we believe we should be. And we have a week, and we have 2 weeks, and we have a month, and we feel low, and don't feel who I was and who I could be. And sometimes it's for so long that I feel like I've lost it all. I was so inspired, I was such a person, I was by my davening and my learning, and just the way I thought, and my connection to God. And now, you know, it's just not present in the same way. And I feel like I lost it. I feel like it's gone. I feel like I don't know what happened. And I try, and I'm pushing myself a little bit here and a little bit there, and it's not even coming back. And I start to get worried. Maybe that's it. And we've seen people that look like they were, at one point in life, so connected and full of Ava and Yiras Hashem, and then mamash gone. And maybe we start to think, could that be me? And then we have a Tu Bishvat. We have Tu Bishvat, and what would we be reminded of Tu Bishvat? It's not about just Shkoyach, Meiser, Meiser Ani, and these are important halachas, but it's a lesson to each and every one of us that we're that tree. And we all have potential to grow. And we always have potential of rebirth. And we could have that same revival in our own Avodas Hashem. Every single one of us. As we see in Iyov and Perek Yudalid, Pesukim Zayin Ches and Tes, the Pesukim say, Ki Yesh La'etz Tikva. A tree always has hope. Im Yikares, if it's cut, Ve'od Yachalif, it will again renew itself. What happens when you cut off a branch? It rebuilds. Vinakta Lo Techtal, and its bough will not cease, its main branch will never be gone. Im yazkin ba'aretz sharsho, if its roots age in the earth, uba'afar yamas gizo, and in the dust its trunk seems to die, me'reach mayim yafriach, from the smell of the water it will again blossom. Va'asa katsir kamonata, will produce a branch like a sapling. The tree will rebuild, the tree will have revival. Va'adam et asada, where does it come from? Me'reach mayim, from water. Mayim el Torah, each and every one of us. We always have Torah that can give us chizik, that can give us inspiration. Happens to be Shoivivim. Shoivivim is Gematria 360, which is Gematria Shas, which is Torah Shebal Peh. Shin Samach is 360, Shoivivim. These days, if we want to grow, it's connecting to Torah. When we connect to that Torah, we can always revive ourselves. And that Torah is not just an Eretz Yisrael, that Torah is it's the same books, this same Chumash that we have right over here. Same one in Yerushalayim Erekot, you consider the Kaisel learning the same Sefer. We have Torah everywhere. And with Torah, I can always be revived. That's my Mayim. That's my spiritual sustenance. That's how I connect to the Rabbi Shalom again, because the Torah is the personality of Hashem. The Torah is the Chochmah Elokis. The Torah is, as the Baal Tanya tells me, when I learn Torah, I'm hugging the Rabbi Shalom. So you feel down and out, don't be down and out. You're a tree. You're a tree and you could be born again. Oh, how? Just like the tree. How's the tree going to do it? With Mayim. A Mayim El Torah. We have such kaychas inside us. The tree, you don't see it, it's dormant in the tree. You see that tree, the potential, it's down deep in the roots. That you see the sap going through it? We don't see anything. It's deep inside, so too deep inside us. We shared this past week, I don't know how many listened on Friday, this week's 5 minute vart. That's what the Nesiva Shalom says, the Hilchos Shlomo Rebbe says, what the hardening of Paro's heart was. What was the hardening of Paro's heart? Everybody asked the question, everybody wants to know. First of all, if Paro's heart was hardened, why would the Mitzrim be punished? Why would he give them to the Makkah? He didn't want to stop us from going. He wanted to let us go. Why did they deserve to be punished? And secondly, what is the meaning of that? With the hardening of Paro's heart, taking away free will, taking away Bechir Chavshitz, it's not even life. The essence of life is to have free will and free choice. What does it mean to be alive without free will and free choice? It means to be robotic. It means to be a puppet of the Ribbono Shel. But what does that mean about us? Is that we're not really actually living. All of our growth and all of our thoughts and all of our struggles and all of our successes and all of our accomplishments, it's meaningless if we have no Bechir Chavshitz, meaning that was all just predetermined. It's like we're not even living. What purpose would there be? So why would Hashem take that away from Paro? So a lot of beautiful answers. I'm sure many of you have dealt with this question before. And Nesiva Shalom Salam Rebbe says so beautifully. And he says, L'mashal, you could imagine a person that has a particular amount of strength, and that person tries to lift a car. You'll never be able to lift a car. But there have been documented cases where, lo aleinu, if someone's like stuck under the car, that same person could literally lift up the car. How so? Because in certain circumstances, that person dug down deeper and found kochos within themselves they didn't even know existed until they pushed themselves to the limit. So too, the Nesiva Shalom says by Paro. You know what I mean? Hashem took away his free will and free choice. He took away his natural free will and free choice. But if he wanted to, he could have dug down deeper and still let us go. It wasn't completely impossible. So it wasn't that he took away his complete free choice. And so to each and every one of us. We have such, what does that teach me? That we have such kochos within us that we haven't even tapped into. And like that tree that looks dead, but deep, deep, deep and down inside it has the ability to revitalize itself. And so to each and every one of us. Each and every one of us, we have kochos within ourselves. We just need to be sprinkled with the mayim of Torah to bring it out. Like we do, Baruch Hashem, what is chus? Terry, look so forward at Emes. I'll be honest. You know, Matzei Shabbos, you can think. Shabbos is obviously so beautiful, amazing. How often do you have a night that you can just relax and chill and do whatever people do on Matzei Shabbos Kodesh? Some people call it Saturday night and do lots of other things. We won't talk about that. But even Biktush of Tara and just to relax and enjoy a night with the family. I'll tell you, when we have to learn together, Matzei Shabbos is so beautiful, so wonderful. Such a beautiful schus to go into the week and be with Nashim Tzidkanios who want to learn on Matzei Shabbos. But this is it. This is the mayim that revitalizes us. This is the mereach mayim yafriach. We can be different people and pull out kochos we didn't even know were inside. We thought things were dead, and I wasn't davening the way I was davening, wasn't learning the way I was learning, wasn't thinking the way I was thinking. And revitalized, just like that tree. That's the celebration of Tu B'Shvat. That, you want to know what the celebration is? It's true. Nothing occurred in history on Tu B'Shvat that we know about, that we're celebrating. It's the yearly, just, Teva Olam that Hashem created. But you know what that does for us? It gives us such chizik of potential. Such chizik of hope. And that hope is worth celebrating. How could I not celebrate such a beautiful message, such a beautiful idea? To know that I could always rebuild, that I could always revitalize myself. That's worth a celebration. That's worth elevating the whole month. I shared in a men's share, I don't know, some of you might have listened to this, so I could... About a man that I'm very close to. He's a friend of mine, he's a Talmud of mine, who lives in Eretz Yisrael. He has this chus to live in that place where everything comes from. He's someone that I knew years ago, and then for years we were not in touch. And it's an amazing thing, Baruch Hashem, with technology and YU Torah, and he started listening to the Shiurim on YU Torah, and often we're in contact all the time about the Shiurim. Very halakhy and very special Jew. I was supposed to see him 5 weeks ago when I was in Eretz Yisrael and gave a Lav Malka and Yushalayim. He drove him from Beit Shemesh to come. So beautiful of him. It's an incredible moment to share with him because we've learned together for so long. And from the time that he started listening to Shurim, we didn't see each other because it was like he really started. It was from the beginning of COVID, I believe, or like before the. And then I wasn't allowed in Eretz Yisrael for a long time. Just to see him and give a big hug to him was so special. It was a mamish moment. You know, the closest relationships I feel in my life are these relationships that are through Ruchnius, through Torah. Different type of kasher than just And he has a son. And this son, unfortunately for many years, was completely off the derech. When I say off the derech, I don't just mean, you know, not showing up to shul. Like, hasn't put on tefillin in years. Hasn't kept Shabbos. Can't imagine how hard that is for somebody who loves Yiddishkeit, loves Torah. How hard it was going through those years. But I'm talking even, you know, I'm talking tattoos, earrings. I'm even Yavin, you get it, right? This Talmud of mine, this friend of mine, he's just continued him and his wife to show love. His son's in his young 20s. He just continued to show love and he lived in their house and that just love. Unconditional love. And about 2 months ago now, he was trying for a while to convince his son, to be Mechazik's son, to come join him to learn Daf Yomi. That he started learning Daf Yomi, and it was like the biggest chizik in the world for him. And he goes to a very special Daf Yomi, this Rabbi Stefanski, who gives a special Daf Yomi in Beit Shemesh, and thousands of people throughout the world are online on this Daf Yomi. Incredible person. Very exciting shiur. And he wants his son to come. And obviously his son continuously says no. Man, he said how far away the son is. He's not looking to learn Daf Yomi. It's the last thing in the world. Finally, he offers him $1,000. $1,000 to come for one mesechta, for like 1 month. But this shiur is like, I think it's 7 o'clock in the morning. It's probably about 45 minutes a day. $1,000. And guess what? His son still says no. No. Not coming. Someone who's involved with Daf Yomi, a supporter of this particular Daf Yomi, found out about this, offers to double it. $2,000. And his son agreed. And that first morning, he didn't want to go. That first morning, he didn't want to go, even though he said he was going to come, and he made every excuse in the world not to go. But he pushed himself and he went. And not only did he go to Daf Yomi that morning, the other person who funded the other $1,000, this beautiful yid, I think he's from Baltimore actually, was in Eretz Yisrael and took him out for breakfast and was mechazik him to put on tefillin as well.
And to see him on Masechtas Tainus after a month of learning together with his father, they made a big siyum, and he spoke. And he spoke about how this has changed his life, and that he's still growing, he has ways to grow, but he's coming to learn every day, he's put in tefillin, and he's connected again.
And he didn't stop when he needed to. He's been learning every day since, and it's towards the end, in almost one more week, he's going to finish another Masechta.
I have, his father sent me a video of him speaking at the siyum. When I watched it, I couldn't stop crying.
That young man,
Beruchnia, seemed dead. If you would have told him 3 months ago, you're going to speak at the siyum of Masechtas Tainus, he wouldn't have left. He would have just turned around. He wouldn't have even commented. It's like telling a dead tree, you're going to grow fruits in a couple months. But guess what? V'adam et asada. And that young man who for years was disconnected completely is learning Daf Yomi, finishing his Masechta, and revitalized. He's back. Tu Bishvat. That's the celebration of Tu Bishvat. And it's each and every one of us in our own ways. It doesn't have to be that strong of an extreme of being down and out and being bare. So in our own ways, we all have our areas that we need to revitalize ourselves. We all have our areas. Das ist Tu Bishvat. And just, it's not even that we've done it yet. Just the hope and the knowledge that we can, that's what Tu Bishvat reminds us. And that's worth a celebration.
But remember, the avodah is to eventually find consistency. The hope and the chizik is to know that I always could get back up. Sheva yipol tzadik v'kam. A tzadik might fall, but I could get back up. And that's the chiddush of Tu Bishvat. That's the celebration of Tu Bishvat. But the goal has to be that I find consistency, that I try to not fall. We don't want to fall. It's a chizik that when we fall, we can get back up. And I want to suggest that's pshat in the following. You know, there's a minog on Tu Bishvat, brought down in Svarim. The Sefer Chassidim says to eat an esrog on Tu Bishvat. Other Svarim bring down to daven for a beautiful esrog on Tu Bishvat, to already connect to an esrog. Very interesting. So next week, I'm supposed to be davening for my esrog on Tu Bishvat. Now you could say, once we're talking about peiros, what's the one fruit that's a mitzvah, so we want to connect to that. But I'll tell you what I believe the makar is, and maybe what the lesson is to us. I'll reread you the Mishnah that we started with the machlokes beishame beishila. Be'echad bishvat, on the first day of Shvat, Rosh Hashanah le'ilon, kedivrei beishame. First day of Shvat is the Rosh Hashanah for Ilon. What's Ilon mean? For the tree. What should have the Mishnah have said? What do we call Rosh Hashanah? Right? We sing the song. Tu Bishvat Higia Chag. What do we say? Chag HaIlon? That's not what we're taught in nursery. We're taught what? Chag HaIlonos. Or maybe some of you Ilonot. I don't know. Or Sroldik, right? But plural, why? What do you mean? It's Rosh Hashanah Ilon. Rosh Hashanah for the tree. It should be Rosh Hashanah li'ilanos. The Mishnah should say for the trees. In plural. What's the one tree? And Svarim speak about this, but I want to suggest that tree may be, and we see that we have these menhagim for it, is the esrog tree. That there's a specific connection, not just to all fruits, but specifically to the esrog. And that's why they're Svarim bring down to daven for esrog and to eat an esrog. But specifically the esrog. Why is that? The Gemara in Sukkah tells us something special about an esrog that we don't find by other fruit trees. And that is the esrog. The esrog tree has fruits on the tree all year long. Pre-eit hador. Pashut Pshat, it's pre-eit hador. It's a tree that's beautiful, right? Pre-eit hador. But the Gemara gives another pshat. that it's a deer mishana, it lives on the tree. Dorant, it lives on the tree, mishana l'shana. The fruits always live on the tree. It doesn't go through like other trees of death and rebirth. Maybe that's the ultimate chizik. Meaning what? The first chizik is to remind us, like most trees, that we're that tree of Adam et Asada. And if we do fall, we always have opportunity to get back up and to revitalize ourselves, to be mechazik ourselves, and never be down and out, and never be misyayish, and never be sad. Just pick yourself up. We're trees. We're trees. We always have hope. Yesh tikva. Ki yesh la'et tikva. As the Eov says. Ki yesh la'et tikva. So yesh la'aryeh tikva. We all have hope. But then to be mechazik us at the same time. The goal ultimately is to be like the Ezra. To be mechazik ourselves, to be that person that's davening beautifully every day. And that's learning beautifully every day. And that has a beautiful midas every day. That's the goal. And just because there could be that revitalization and rebirth doesn't mean we're supposed to lechachila look to be on that roller coaster of life. To try to be like the Esrog. To be like that Esrog. Baruch Hashem, that's not voida. So Mirz Hashem, you know, we're about a week into Shvat now. Next week's going to be Tu B'Shvat. The middle of the month has a hashbah on the entire month. The beginning, the end, it's right there in the middle. Just like Pesach, just like Sukkot, Tesvav, Mashpia, the whole month. This whole month is a very special month to grow, to revitalize ourselves. Let's celebrate Tu B'Shvat in such a way and revitalize ourselves, whatever way each and every one of us individually needs to. To believe that we can, to mechazik ourselves, and then Amir Tashem reach for the stars and become like that Esrog who just keeps on going up and keeps on growing. Until we're Zoyche Bez Hashem is Baruch, not to need the Chizik to know that we're celebrating a Yom Tov Eretz Chutzar, because we get the Noishvus, we get the Shirayim, we get the remnants, so therefore it's still better to throw really. Let's not get the remnants anymore. Let's be Mechazik ourselves to grow so that we're Zoyche, each and every one of us, be in the place where all the Shefa is, where it goes Tchila. Yerushalayim Eretz Kodesh with the Gula Shlema with Bias Mashiach, Hey Rabbi Yameinu. We have a beautiful Vach, beautiful month. We'll continue soon.